The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Well, you can save your best performance for Week 14. That's kind of what Derrick Henry did. 238 yards, 4 touchdowns. Tennessee beat Jacksonville last night, 30-9. I don't care what the final score was. I don't even care that the Titans won. I don't care the Jags looked terrible. I had a really fun time watching Derrick Henry do his thing. That 99-yard touchdown run is a historic run. There's only been two people in the NFL history who've ever done that. Tony Dorsett and now Derrick Henry. And both of the calls were done by Bucks. Joe Buck had the call last night. Jack Buck, his father, called the Dorsett run on radio for Monday Night Football back in 83 when it was done. They brought that up last night. I think in a really, really cool moment. Listen, Joe Buck has his detractors, of course. His father didn't have much. His father was one of the best broadcasters we had in the country. Joe's the thing about it, though, is that I think one of the differences is that Joe doesn't have a unique style. He doesn't have a unique voice. He doesn't have a unique anything. He kind of sounds like a typical broadcaster when he calls games. And that's who he is and that's what he does. But it was neat just the way they took that production value to the next level last night. I mean, if you're in the truck and it's early in the game and Derrick Henry runs for 99 yards and you know what? Jack Buck called the same 99-yard run back in 1983 with Tony Dorsett. Let's get that. Let's get the video. Let's marry the two, and let's give this to Joe Buck in the broadcast. I thought it was really nice and was a really touching moment. I thought it was really cool to add that there's been two and both the Bucks have called it. But it's a larger thing, really, with Derrick Henry, who's, as we looked at it this morning, has not had any breakout game this year for Tennessee. Tennessee would like to use him more in the running game, but it hasn't always worked out. Looking like last night, he looked unstoppable. The reality of it is that he has been stoppable. Maybe this is the catalyst for him to become a running back that the Titans are going to need, because Marcus Mariota is not a throw it like crazy kind of quarterback. But last night was a game, again, if you're just watching and you're just looking to see storylines, that was a fun storyline. How many touchdowns would he get? Would he get 5? They had a chance late in the game to do that. He was not able to do that. But this was Derrick Henry's night, and not really a night between two teams.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. This is SB Nation AM.
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us on SB Nation AM. Very disappointed. We were supposed to have Ice Cube on the show today, weren't we? We're supposed to be getting together with Ice Cube.
Yeah, we
didn't get a chance, and it got canceled because of travel issues. And we were going to ask him about Celebrity Deathmatch because it's coming back on MTV. I was so excited to ask him about. He is putting together his production company is putting together a revival of Celebrity Deathmatch.
And if you're unfamiliar with it, that was when they used clay?
Clay animatronics, model. Right? Clay models?
Clay models of famous people and had them wrestle to the death.
And it was great. So, it was fun.
When I first heard, it was he's having that Ice Cube had travel issues and that prohibited him from getting to his destination. I was like, what are you talking about? But did you hear about, L.A.?
No.
He still lives in Southern California.
Okay, so give me the rundown on what could have happened to Ice Cube preventing him from coming on this fine radio program.
You ready for it?
Yes.
It rained.
Oh, but they shut down flights?
Well, pretty much, yeah. I guess it was raining so bad. One plane actually skidded off the runway.
No kidding.
Yeah, Southwest Airlines skidded off the runway a little bit. They don't know. Southern California can't drive in weather.
Yeah.
That's the issue. I remember waking up, I'd be getting ready to head to work, and I was living in Southern California, and it rained all night long. And the problem is, especially with the first rain, it just lifts up all the oil and dirt. It's not
good. Oh, right.
Good,
yeah. Oh, that's
saturation.
Right. That's right.
I mean, and that's everywhere across the country. But the thing is that everywhere else across the country, they all know how to deal with it. In Southern California, I'd be watching the traffic report. It'd be like 7:30. I'm getting ready to head out of the house, and it'd be already probably like 50, 60 accidents on the freeway.
Wow.
Because no one knows how to drive in the rain. They're flooring it. They're driving as fast as they possibly can. They think they're, unstoppable. It's ridiculous. So
I grew
it doesn't
up in-
surprise me that travel restrictions prohibited from him to be able to make it.
I grew up in New Hampshire, and when I lived in Florida, when I went down and I was seeing my wife and we lived in Florida, I had never seen rain like Florida rain before. Like, it would rain in New Hampshire, but it wasn't like it would flood like Florida, especially in the Tampa St. Pete area. It would flood. That thing would be up to my ankles in no time walking through it. When I lived in Vegas, it's the desert, but we would get the monsoon seasons.
Yeah.
And again, it's the same thing. I was like, I've never seen rain like this. It's like the heavens take a bucket and pour it onto the ground. Like we would get New Hampshire would get like a downpour, but it was not very long and whatever. I would walk out to the parking lot, it'd be an ocean of water. And just, I never saw anything like that. It's scary. And if you're caught in it, it's the worst. And I didn't know how to deal with it. My wife knows how to drive in the rain better than I do. I know how to drive in the snow. She knows how to drive in the rain. But that's it. But it can be frightening if you haven't done it in a while. And you're right. You hydroplane. If you don't drive in the rain on a regular basis, the first time you hydroplane, it's like my car. Somebody's taking over my car.
Yeah, and
you have no idea what to do.
Like pumping the brakes, like, what's the point of having brakes right now?
Exactly. Like, I'm just, it's, my car is flying all over the place. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fortunately, the one and only time I've ever hydroplaned, I ran into some bushes. And so I was, it was like, okay, I just feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm that guy.
Oh, goodness.
Glad I didn't take out like a row of cars or a house or anything like that.
I hope we can reschedule our interview with one Mr. Cube.
Yeah, because we got to know more about Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah, Celebrity Deathmatch is awesome. Yeah, he's going to drop it. He's dropping a new album today, Something's Corrupt.
Yeah.
And then he's got some other projects we want to talk about.
He's got the Big Three coming.
The Big
back
Three,
next
obviously.
So is he the hardest working man in show business right
now? I know, right? These guys, all these got the projects. I don't know when they sleep, when they do anything. So, and I was going to tell him today that the Raiders were going to beat the Steelers. I was going to give him a little bit of hope.
Yeah, see, he would probably fight you on that one.
I know. He'd tell me I'm a fool. I'm an idiot. I'll be like, no. Trust me. Trust me. You're going to come Sunday night. You're going to be thanking me for this conversation.
Can I bring something else up too?
Yes.
All right. I got stuck watching. I don't know if you watched yesterday, but, President Bush was laid to rest.
Yes.
Finally. Did you see how he traveled from Houston to, it's about 90 minutes north, about an hour and a half north of here, where Texas A&M University is, College
Station. Did he go by train?
He went by train.
Which is really cool.
That's
so awesome. I heard that there was a train. I didn't see the train, but I heard about the train.
Oh, the train. I mean, it was, you know, the front engine, the front locomotive was specially painted for him, you know, something
oh,
the
41 nice.
On it. He was placed in a boxcar. I mean, obviously, everything had been repainted, and, you know, this boxcar didn't have graffiti on it. So it's not your average boxcar. But it was fixed with plexiglass. It's because they kept the doors open so you could see the coffin as it was going by.
No kidding.
And then, you know, there was a guard standing there the entire time, did not move. I'm sitting there like, man.
That's tough.
You got to switch off, right, at some
yeah,
point?
Yeah, that is so tough to do.
But I think that I'm going to throw that in my will now. I don't know where I would go. I just want to
just
go
be on
train.
A train.
I just want
yeah,
to
just be on a train.
Take me on a train one last time.
Were people lined up? I'm sure they were. People just came out to see the train.
It was in the thousands.
Yeah, it's always weird.
Small towns. I mean, you know, for us, like the closest we could have gone to was probably about maybe a half hour, 40 minutes north of here. And, you know, it probably would have been a traffic jam getting there. And there, people were just lined up both sides of the track. There were thousands of people lined up all the way. And I said, that's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, that's that.
You know, because all the family members, you know, I mean, President George W. Bush, Governor Jeb Bush, they were all in the train as well. There's like many other passenger cars. And they're waving to the crowds. Jeb Bush actually shot a photo. You can, if you go to his Instagram, you can see what his view looked like going by the crowd.
No, that's great. That's great.
But yes. I'm
that train,
I'm
that,
by
that
train,
that train, like, you know, United States dignitaries, if you will, you know, politicians, whatever. Like when Robert Kennedy got assassinated, took a train back, and people just lined up to, you know, be sorrowful that Robert Kennedy passed away. Abe Lincoln's train, you know, after he died, it's the same kind of thing. It kind of runs in our history that we do that. That's kind of cool that they did that. That's kind of. It's a nostalgic way of delivering, somebody of high, you know, stature, of importance
they, you know,
to
they,
their final
they
resting
could have
site.
Taken the plane there.
Oh, know, sure, yeah.
Drove up the cars. I'm just wondering right now, you know, the ex-president's looking at this. Are they taking notes?
Oh, I would be. Are you kidding? I would be. Absolutely. If I was president of the United States, I'd be like, wait a minute. Now this is how it is.
I want this because, I mean, the whole thing from beginning to end was just an amazing event. I don't really remember it being this spectacular.
I agree completely. Again, you know, in our lives, we haven't seen a lot of presidential funerals. You know, a handful. You know,
yeah, Reagan, Ford,
Nixon in the 90s, Ford, Reagan. For me, that's about it. I think.
But Nixon, he never made it to D.C. That was just all.
Yeah, California. Yeah, exactly. But now, but the way this one went down, yeah, you're right. I haven't seen anything this grand in a long time or ever. And you're right. If I'm the president, if I ever become president, I'm not. I'd be right with you. I'd be taking notes of it. Like, this is how I'm doing it. I want this. Make this happen. I want the train, and I want this, and I want everybody to come, and I would love it. I would, that's how I'd roll.
For me, it's like, oh, you put me in D.C. I'm originally from California. Train me all the way back.
Train all the way back. How long does the train take to go from D.C. to California by regular train?
Know.
5 days?
Got to be, right? Well, I'm probably sooner. Maybe probably less time than that.
I mean, I don't know. The trains go slow, man.
Well, you could drive from California to the East Coast.
Well, if you go nonstop, you can. But the reason trains are slow is because they stop at every little town because that's how they pick up new passengers.
Well, this one wouldn't stop, though. You're not picking up passengers.
You have to go all the way through. Yeah, but you'd want to. You don't want to drive in the middle of the night, would you?
Well, they would slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'd want to stop so you could get the maximum attention, right? You don't want to go through town at 3 o'clock in the morning. You want to maximize the viewership.
Well,
if you're a dead president.
You know what? Because when President Bush arrived back in Houston, he was laying in the church that he regularly attended here in Houston. And people started lining up. They assembled at one church and took a bus to the church where he was laying his state because he had a private funeral here in Houston. yesterday. And there was viewing going on from, I want to say it started like 5:30, 6 o'clock evening, and lasted till 6 o'clock yesterday morning.
Oh, wow.
But apparently it was going, people were lined up all night long going, and we're talking like in the thousands.
Just see, that's what I would do. That's a historical moment. I probably would do that too.
I had no idea until I woke up and I was like, oh, that would have been cool to know that. Because I was curious about it. I was like, oh, you know what? I mean, it's Houston. I mean, I know, you know, Barbara Bush had a funeral here, but, you know, she wasn't president. So maybe, you know, that's the funeral she got. And George Bush got the national funeral. But no, he had a private one here.
How long does it take in this one? I don't think this would happen for him because he was only a one-term president. But let's say you had a really great president, and now they die. How long does it take before the United States goes, yeah, you know what? Let's change some currency, and let's put him on a coin, or let's put him on a bill. How long do you get to do that? Like, I would think, because, you know, JFK was on the what, silver dollar or the half dollar?
But he got assassinated, so
yeah, I know, but I don't think you have to be assassinated to be part of the bill, right?
How long is it taking for us to change the $20 bill?
Okay, I don't know. Why is Ulysses S. Grant is on the $100 bill, right?
No, he's on
the 50. Who's on the 100? Ben Franklin?
That's all about
Benjamin Franklin's great. He's a great. He's a great, but what if you were a great president? Let's say you were going to go down in history as one of the great presidents of our time. And they were like, oh man, Alexander Hamilton. Oh, let's change this.
See, they should probably switch it up. They should probably put Washington on a higher bill because he is, you know, the father of our country.
Right.
Put Clinton on the $1 because he's all about making it rain.
Making it rain, right? Thomas Jefferson is a perfect choice for the $2 bill. Second president. Well, I think he's the second. Was he the third? Oh, forget it. That was stupid then. What kind of history do I know? I thought that's why he was on the $2 bill. Man, I'm an idiot. Well, now you got to get rid of Thomas Jefferson. We don't even use the $2 bill. So let's put a president on there like, I don't know, James Polk or somebody else that we don't even think about on the $2 bill. Put Jefferson on something we're using consistently.
If you bring a $2 bill now to say, you know, you go to the fast food court at the mall and you bring a $2 bill while you're shopping, there's going to be a millennial who's going to be calling security.
Exactly.
So you're using fake money.
Exactly. Are you kidding me? $2 bill. What are you, out of your mind? That's what Jefferson gets? The $2 bill, the currency we don't use anymore? That's terrible. That's awful. I mean, find a Franklin Pierce. Put Franklin Pierce on the $2
what
bill.
What did he do?
Who's he? Right? Put somebody else on. Somebody who didn't do anything.
You got to go with Van Buren because those sideburns were awesome.
Exactly. That's right. Get Jefferson on a better piece of currency. All right. 800-777-2907. We'll talk more. I want to get into the one college football question that I have about the Army-Navy game coming up next.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I'm glad you could join us here on SB Nation Radio. It's Army Navy coming up on Saturday. And so I asked this question earlier, Ron, that if, let's say either team, and you can pick one, anyone you want. Let's say we had a year in college football where, I'll just use Navy, no offense to Army, it's just I got to pick a team. Let's say Navy had a great schedule, tough teams, top 25 teams, picked up and just played, well, Navy's a bad example, like more Army, because Army can make their own schedule. So let me reverse that. Let's go Army. Let's say Army scheduled some great teams that were playing well.
They took on half the SEC,
unbeaten
Ohio State and Michigan.
Oh, they were rolling through. This year they played Oklahoma. Let's say Army had a schedule like that where you were just unquestionable that they had a good schedule. They were undefeated and looked great. I mean, they looked great. Okay. If you're the college football playoff committee, how would it work going into the Army-Navy game? Would they still bring out the playoff rankings before that game, or would they have to wait? would they have to say, oh, we gotta wait for Army and Navy because we have Army and Navy in the conversation. Right, so we're going to have to kill the television broadcast.
You always do it after conference champion weekend. I mean, it's the day after.
But is it, but is it
Army
held
Navy
off?
Is always a week after.
Yeah, it is.
So
Army Navy gets its own weekend.
I guess you just say, you're okay, in this hypothetical situation, Army's ranked in the top four going into Army Navy game.
Yeah, let's say that's the case.
I mean, you'd have to wait because if they were to lose, obviously you're going to drop them out of the top four.
Oh,
or you just go, you know what? They're in the top four. We're going to put them. Let's just put them in.
Let's put them in, and no matter what happens in the Army Navy game.
No matter what happens.
Now, listen. It may seem like I don't want to pick on Army or Navy, but the other conference was lose their mind. Like if they were like, wait a minute, hold on, you had to wait to the end of the SEC championship for us to get in, or the ACC championship, and Army-Navy get to play without any repercussions? Come on.
Yeah, and I think in that scenario, you'd have to wait till this weekend.
Yeah, you'd have to say, wait a minute.
Wait till see how that game plays out, and then do it on a Sunday.
Now, here's what would happen. I'll tell you how this would work out, right? You would have Army-Navy, like Army, let's say, is fighting for that fourth spot or third spot, whatever it is. So you'd have Army going into Navy, and then the other schools would spend the entire week going on every television show they can, talking about campaigning. The whole week, right?
I was thinking the
Everybody
same thing.
Would be every radio and television station they could talking about their season. You'd have, let's say Oklahoma was you have Lincoln Riley every second of every day on television, every radio show, every television show, every podcast he could get on. He would be on touting the Sooners. Just to make sure the committee could hear it and however they would walk around in their daily life.
Yeah, because I guess that's the beauty of the situation right now, right? It's just that you have your conference champions one day, boom, playoff.
Boom, we're
playoff
done.
Committee
yep.
makes their decision right then and there. There's no time for you to influence anybody.
Exactly. But they would be like, well, if the committee is going to watch Fox News, I'll make sure my coaches is somewhere on Fox News. CNN, same thing. If they like Manifest, we'll have them like on a guest appearance. Like, I don't care. This Is Us, we'll have them as somebody that's crying about some sort of relationship gone bad. I don't care. I'm putting my coach on every possible television medium, my radio medium I can to make sure that the committee hears his voice in some capacity or another. They're not going to be sequestered like a jury at some point. I'll put them on a cooking show for crying out loud if it gets me any consideration for votes when they tallied up again in a week.
God, can we just do that next year just because?
Oh, that wouldn't be fun.
Want to see what would happen.
Like, imagine if you're a committee voter and it has to wait a week, right? Because you're right? They sit in a hotel all weekend, they watch all the conference games, and then it's done. That's it, right? But imagine if they had to live their daily life, like with a final vote. They had to walk around public. They had to go like shopping. They had to go to whatever they do for a job every single day. And how many people would just come up to them and go,
swag, would they get boosters?
Oh, are you kidding?
There's no rule about boosters not being able to tamper.
Not at all.
Those are private citizens.
Think about the wealth of opportunity that would come to a committee member if we had to wait a week to decide the final four. And it was up between like three or four teams. And like literally be like, hey, Jim, you got a package downstairs. I think you need to go check this out. It's like a brand new Mercedes. Like, what is this? My God, it's from Buck Walton. He's from Oklahoma, and he's sending me a new car.
You remember the movie Santa Claus with Tim Allen?
Yes, yes.
When he first gets the list.
Yeah,
and he's like, I got boxes, send it on in. And then he comes downstairs from shaving and you just like, he can't even walk through his house. That's what a committee member's house would look like.
Oh, no kidding.
Showered with gifts.
So that, maybe one year we'll be blessed with an Army Navy game that could affect the playoff. I don't know, but who knows?
Only one school abstained, Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, yeah.
I mean, I'll just say Nick Saban, because whether he's coaching at Alabama or he's moved on to somebody else, he's above that.
Yeah,
he would send gifts.
No. I'm good. I'm fine. I don't need anything. Army is an independent, and Navy plays in the AAC.
So Army, Navy could Army could be the Notre Dame.
Yeah, Army could be the team. Like Army could be the team that could pull this off. Navy, unfortunately, because they play in the AAC and everybody hates the AAC, could never get into this playoff no matter what they did.
But what? If
Navy ever went undefeated and made the playoff, UCF would just quit playing college football. They would just shut it down.
God, like, that's it. So that's funny. It. Danny White would just lose his mind. Like, what? Just because they're Navy?
Right. Just because they're Navy they're in? Yeah.
Committee trying to explain Navy, that one.
And by the way, the Army, to their credit, Army went 9-2 this year. They lost to Duke and Oklahoma. They didn't exactly play world beaters, but I mean, they played, Buffalo. Those are the games they lost, but they didn't play teams. They beat Liberty, Hawaii, San Jose State, Miami, Ohio, Eastern Michigan, Lafayette, Colgate. I mean, so like they would need to obviously boost that schedule. You
know, Miami, Ohio, they just drop off the Ohio.
Yeah. They just drop off.
We beat Miami.
Oh, I always tell this story. I called a basketball game for Air Force where they played Miami of Ohio, and the press release, the game notes, front page of the game notes said, "Please do not refer us as Miami of Ohio. We are Miami." And I'm like, "No, you're not." Yeah. I was like, "I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Just because you call yourself Bob doesn't mean it's not Robert." It's like, sorry. There's nothing I can do. I kept calling him Miami, Ohio the whole game. SB Nation Radio.
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer. Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, MyPillow's got a great offer for you this holiday season. If you're still wondering, I got to get some gifts. I don't really like going to the mall. I really don't know what to get people. MyPillow, 4 MyPillows for half price. You get 2 premium MyPillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows that are great for travel at half price. Just go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WINNER. That's right. Use the promo code WINNER at MyPillow.com. You're going to get a great night's sleep. The people you give these gifts to would get a great night's sleep, and they'll always thank you for it. That's the beauty of these kind of gifts, is that it's the kind of gifts you probably hear about over and over again when they tell you, "Man, I'm sleeping great. Thanks for that present. I never would have thought that I'd be getting the kind of sleep I'm getting." My pillow is great. I use it, and I've been getting some great sleep. The patented foam fill creates kind of a pillow that keeps your head steady. And so it gives you, like, when you're in the alignment, you don't toss and turn. You don't get uncomfortable quickly, and you don't feel like, "I got to toss and turn. I got to reshape my pillow," because that gets you out of the sleep, so you stay asleep longer. Again, go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WINNER. You're going to get 2 premium MyPillows, those for your bedroom, and then 2 go-anywhere pillows. That's for travel, and you get them at half price. Again, MyPillow.com, use the promo code WINNER. And they're also extending their money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2019, so you don't like to send it back. Or you can call them 800-513-3363, 513-3363. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code WINNER, for this incredible Christmas deal. All right, so remember when Alex Smith got hurt and he had to have surgery to break his broken tibia and fibula? Apparently, the surgery did not go very well, and there have been complications. When I hear complications from surgery, that always scares me. Like, what are they talking about? Infection, amputation? What are they talking about?
I guess the reports are there's fear that he may never be able to play again.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's too bad. Wow.
Which, you know, I guess the silver lining to it all, at least it's coming towards the end of his career, not the beginning.
It's true.
I mean, how terrible would it be if this was, like, say, Sam Darnold?
Yeah, well, the Mackenzie Milton kid. Remember what we talked about with him?
Mackenzie Milton.
They finally had blood flowing to his leg. I guess that's a pretty good thing. I guess if you get blood flowing to the leg. That's crazy.
It's just scary. You break something and then all of a sudden an infection just starts taking over your body. Like, no.
Yeah, so he could. I don't know, man. That's Joe Theismann, I don't think, played again, right? I mean, that's.
No, that was a career ender. But
that was it.
But
this could
back,
this be the same thing?
That was also back. I mean, medicine wasn't what it was back then.
Yeah, they used leeches and fire to take out the infection. And
all
voodoo.
I know, all I can guarantee you is that, and this is for any man out there, is that infection starts creeping up the leg, you know you're going to say, "Take it.
Take a leg. I don't need it." Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Goodness gracious. Alex Smith battling an infection related to the surgery he had on a broken fibula and tibia. I mean, if the rehab alone, right? So let's say you're Alex Smith and you're, mid-30s, right? Is that how old he is, right?
He's got to be.
So you hear like a year of physical therapy to try to, just to try to get back to football shape. It's, you don't even, just to get back to regular walking around and not feeling any pain is going to take a year. To get to football shape might take a while. Do you go, oh, forget it. I'm done. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to get back in this league at 37 and do this all over again. I made enough money. I'm done. I'll do whatever I'm doing next. But man, I'm going to do 2 years of this. I mean, who knows how long the rehab is going to be, but man, that's kind of sad. I don't know. It's freaky that we still have that. I don't like, I mean, like I've had surgery before. I had surgery once for a herniated disc, and it was like the herniated disc was so painful. And I remember this was about 10, 11 years ago. And I remember the surgeon came in telling me all the things. And he said, now here's the deal. We're going to have to go through your throat. We're going to have to go through your throat area to do this. It's a very simple surgery. But I want to let you know that, your vocal cords could be damaged in this process. And I know you're a broadcaster, so I just wanted to give you a heads up. It's like frightening to hear.
Ah, you don't need that.
I was like, what? Oh, no.
Just start, you know, so, start yeah. clicking.
So then at the, he told my wife after, when I was recovering, he said to my wife, it was really, really crazy. He goes, I opened up and he goes, it was like, there was a path. Just right there, like it was so easy to go through his vocal cord area. It's one of the easiest entrance surgeries that I've ever done on this. Because it was so, I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, imagine waking up not talking. I had to do that once. I had a polyp removed from my throat, and I had to spend like a week and a half writing things. That's how I communicated with people. It was awful. What was worse, my wife thought it would be a good idea to go furniture shopping. Right. Yeah. And so she would be like, what do you think of this? I don't like it. And she's like, I can't read that. That's scribble. God. What are you talking about? Should we buy this? I think we should buy this. No, we shouldn't. I can't read your hand. I guess it's okay. We could just buy the furniture. I can't read his handwriting.
That's when the wives all want to do the shop. Let's buy furniture. Let's buy a car. Hell, right. Let's buy a new house. You can't say exactly. No.
As I walk into the parking lot, I'm shaking my head. She's like, I don't know what you're saying. I can't hear what you're saying.
Now did you go pad and paper?
Yeah.
A pad of paper, yeah. Or did you go, you know, whiteboard with?
Oh, no. I did pad and paper. I wanted to do whiteboard. Oh, that would have been the best. If I had the dry erase board, that would have been the best. No, or, I did stupid. I did notebook. I did reporter notebook pad.
God.
Oh, it was terrible. Trees, awful. Exactly.
I think I'd want to go chalkboard.
Oh, it was terrible.
So
it
anyway,
was,
you know,
terrible.
Because my wife hates the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard. So if that happened to me,
totally.
I would totally go chalkboard on her. And then if she went out and said, you know, I'm going to go out and buy a new couch, I'd be like.
Yeah. man, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to be done with that. Couldn't wait to be healed.
Now, did you ever try talking, or were you like, no?
No, I didn't. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I didn't, because they said, no, it's got to heal. Really, don't even try to make a sound. It's like, they kind of got me a little nervous about it. So I was like, okay. No, but it was.
But what if
it
you, was, what like if you I, talked and came back sounding like Barry White?
Yeah, then, I know, right?
Come on, now you got it going.
I went back to the radio station, you know, to sort of, you know, I'm going to be out for a while. And everyone was trying to get me to say something. And I was like, no, I can't say anything. It was such a bizarre time, because it wasn't like I didn't have the ability to talk. It's just, I had to force myself not to talk. And that was the hardest part. So, yeah. But Alex Smith could be done with that surgery. God. And Mackenzie Milton, I don't know if he had a future in the NFL or not, but listen, can we all agree that he has a future in one of the three professional leagues that are going to pop up now?
Three.
What is the Freedom League? What is the Freedom Football League?
Freedom League. That's the one started by in the grassroots stage.
Okay.
Started by Terrell Owens and Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams back in our lives now with the Freedom Football League. What a weird name. I guess the Freedom stands for we get to do what we want.
You get to do what you want, say what you want.
Nobody's telling us.
Yeah, do we need another one? I mean,
I don't think we need two.
You and I were talking about it right, you know, yesterday. We already had the NFL. The NFL's fine. We already have college football. That's good enough for us. No, but obviously the two that are in the works are going to be held in the springtime, because we need football. I mean, the NFL's not a, you know, 365-day storyline, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had the XFL starting 2 years from now. The AAF is starting this spring, a week after the Super Bowl. So
we're, and we
we're going to be fine.
Yeah, and we think the AAF, the American Alliance, that seems to be better run right now, although the XFL has got some infrastructure.
Yeah, but they're going to have gimmicks. Right, but the XFL has the WWE, which is, you know, obviously a global conglomerate.
And the AAFL, is that what we're calling it?
The AAF.
Oh, AAF. The AAF looks like it's ready to roll. It's been organized.
Yep.
This is what William said. He said, quote, "It's a new spring football league, and it's for the fans." Okay, well, I'm sure. "And it's by the players. It all started with a bunch of guys sitting around a table talking about the good old days and realizing, you know, we have a lot of experience. We've been there before. We know how to do it. What if we started a league and really made it about developing young men?" This is the dumbest idea I've ever heard for starting a league that will leave you penniless. Do not do this. This is I kid you not, starting these leagues up as a whim is a great way to eliminate all of the income you have. I mean, right? I guess they say they have 100 stakeholders with 50 former players among them. Please, if you are a financial advisor, please do not tell me you've put your clients' money in this thing. Come on. There doesn't seem to be a business plan. Basically, a bunch of guys that used to play in the NFL thinking people will buy tickets to watch them play again?
Well, no. If you look at the bunch of guys, there's a bunch of guys in the NFL who left before they were ready to leave.
Okay. Not Terrell Owens, right?
No, Terrell Owens. I mean, he kept wanting to come back. He kept saying, sign me.
He's like 40 years old.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
No. There's a difference. Is there a difference between I want to come back and whether I can come back?
Oh, no. I totally get what you're saying. I'm okay. Just saying he doesn't care.
No. But that's, again, what a stupid business plan this is.
I mean, it's also other names as early owners are Jeff Garcia and former Super Bowl MVP Dexter Jackson.
Oh, come on, guys, get your money out of this now. This is all right. It's all fun and games until somebody loses an inheritance. Okay, get your money out of this stupid thing.
So,
all right.
Well, what they're looking at this league to be is similar to what the Big Three is, and I guess it's they all might do something where it's just 7-on-7.
Okay. Listen, if that's the business plan. Okay, I might change my tune a little bit. What makes the Big Three work, right, is they've got players people want to see play, but they go city to city. So there's no bunch of travel, like Denver's going to go to San Antonio this weekend and Philly's going to New York and then someone's going to Orlando and Orlando, you know, they're going to Texas. They go to cities and then they play these tournaments and then that's the kind of cool thing that's in your town, right? The Big Three is in our town, right? If they do something like that, all right, that might work. Like if it's 7-on-7 and we're going to play a little tournament this weekend at a football stadium near you, that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. And maybe,
but please don't tell me it's like,
and if you're doing,
we're going to have
seven
a schedule
seven,
and travel and coaches and all that stuff.
And then if you do 7-on-7, I guess maybe you can bring back, I guess maybe Terrell Owens could play again.
So yeah. That makes sense.
But I mean, would you want to watch that though?
No, not really.
Watch like older guys. I mean, there's a difference in playing like a pickup basketball game versus throwing on the helmets and pads and doing a 7-on-7 football game. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know what the insurance cost for the Big Three is in terms of health insurance for these players when they're playing a 3-on-3 basketball game. But let me tell you something: old guys playing football, it's gonna be through the roof. All right, so you better find a good healthcare plan. All right, because we just talked about Alex Smith breaking his leg and maybe done needing, you know, complications. If you're 40 and you run and you trip,
well,
good night.
Okay, if he is able to keep both of his legs, maybe the Freedom Football League is his ticket to just, yeah, you know, have one more day in the sun.
Yeah, you know what? If it's one of those things that says, hey, listen, we've got teams and we're coming, like we're going to be in Austin this weekend and we've got these guys. Okay, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
But if you have a home office in like 10 cities and you're all traveling on weekends and you know, like a real league, like
it's going to fail so quickly.
Yeah, like I was in the two minor league basketball teams that I'll tell you right now, it was not what killed our league the most was travel. The travel was just too much. It was just the hotels, the plane tickets, the buses, everything that you need. It was just a horrific expense. We could find cheap places to play. We could find cheap, you know, players that would play for nearly next to nothing. We could find that. But travel was too much. I mean, I would be booking airline tickets. I'm like, whose credit card are we putting this on? They were like thousands and thousands of dollars. And the owner's credit card. We had an owner that was an accountant and a lawyer. He was a certified accountant and a lawyer. And he was petrified that his kids weren't going to go to college. And he exited out of that thing as fast as he possibly could. All right, 800-777-2907. It's good to see Ricky Williams in the spotlight again, though, isn't it? I've always liked Ricky Williams. Yeah, it's nice to see him back making some news. SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Enjoy the NFL games coming up this weekend. When does the NFL kick into Saturday games on their schedule now that the college football season is over? Is that week 15?
Isn't that the weekend before Christmas, right?
Yes, actually, December 15th, I got two games, Houston and, yeah, you're right, a week before Christmas. Houston and the Jets and Cleveland and Denver are going to play Saturday the 15th.
So next weekend.
Yeah, so next weekend. So that's all when right. NFL's like, okay, you done? You done Saturdays? Okay, we got to take them over now. Play some games. And then the bowl season, that starts on the 15th, too. I got to check this out. So the bowl season is... The bowl season starts on the 15th. What's the first game out of the gate for the bowl season? It's December 15th.
It's some high-profile matchup.
You ready?
Must-watch TV.
This is the Auto Nation Cure Bowl.
Oh, this one's going to be fantastic.
World Stadium in Orlando.
Riveting teams against each other. I can't wait.
Tulane and Louisiana.
Yes.
So it's part of a five-day bowl fest on Saturday the 15th.
Five-day bowl fest? What is a five-day bowl fest?
Games in Orlando, Albuquerque, Vegas, Montgomery, Alabama, and the Superdome between MTSU and Appalachian State.
Wow.
I know. Four big games.
You hear about Appalachian State no longer has freshmen?
Really?
Yep.
Fresh persons?
Fresh Moors.
Fresh Moors. What? They did that?
Yep. Fresh Moor.
That's going to catch on. You know, the way the university climate is. That's totally going to catch on.
No more fresh men. No more couldn't go fresh women. Now you got to go fresh more.
You know how important these bowl games are outside of the playoff? Mel Tucker just got hired to be the head coach at Georgia. I mean, at Colorado. He's the defensive coordinator at Georgia. They're playing Texas in the Sugar Bowl, and he's like, nah, goodbye. They're like, you want to stay and help us? Nope, I don't. Bye. I'm leaving. I'm going to Boulder. If it was a playoff, he'd stay. If he had a chance to win a title, he'd stay. But it's the Sugar Bowl? Nothing. Goodbye.